Support for the Cybercase Files podcast comes from Trailblazing Love. Are you looking for a unique and thrilling date night experience with your significant other? Look no further than Trailblazing Love. Our outdoor adventure boxes are designed to provide couples with an unforgettable experience in nature. Each box is carefully curated with a variety of activities and surprises, from guided hikes to stargazing to gourmet snacks and drinks. Whether you're a seasoned outdoors enthusiast or just looking to try something new, our boxes offer something for everyone. Best of all, our boxes can be enjoyed anywhere, from a local park to a remote wilderness area. Simply choose your location and let the adventure begin. So why not spice up your next date night with Trailblazing Love? Order your box today and get ready for an unforgettable outdoor adventure with your loved one. You can find out more in the links in the episode show notes. Support for the Cybercase Files podcast comes from Engage AI. Join over 15,000 LinkedIn power users and supercharge your social selling with Engage AI. Imagine effortlessly writing insightful comments that break the ice and build relationships with prospects. With Engage AI as your comment writing assistant, you'll save precious time while achieving conversions with every added touchpoint. Give Engage AI a spin and transform your LinkedIn conversations into powerful conversion tools today. You can find out more in the links in the episode show notes.
Hello, my name is Bidemi Ologunde, and you're listening to episode 13 of the Cybercase Files podcast. On this episode, I'll discuss an international cyber operation that disrupted a criminal marketplace, charges against a representative of North Korean Foreign Trade Bank for involvement in crypto laundering conspiracies, the sentencing of a foreign military intelligence official for their role in an international drug trafficking conspiracy, the U.S. Justice Department's announcement of a National Human Trafficking Coordinator and National Coordinator for Child Exploitation Prevention and Interdiction, and a joint statement from the 2023 U.S.-Canada Cross-Border Crime Forum, CBCF. Thank you for your time. Let's get to it. Operation Cookie Monster. On April 5, the U.S. Justice Department announced a global operation against Genesis Market, an online criminal marketplace that sold stolen account access credentials. The credentials included usernames and passwords for email, bank account, and social media obtained from malware-infected computers worldwide. Attorney General Merrick B. Garland said that the Justice Department, in collaboration with international partners and 45 FBI field offices, conducted an unprecedented takedown of Genesis Market. The operation serves as a warning to cybercriminals who use or operate such criminal marketplaces, emphasizing that the department and its partners will shut down illegal activities, locate perpetrators, and bring them to justice. Deputy Attorney General Lisa O. Monaco highlighted the takedown of Genesis Market and the arrest of its users globally. She emphasized that Genesis falsely promised anonymity and impunity, but ultimately enabled the department to identify, locate, and apprehend online criminals. The department has been actively targeting and taking down major darknet marketplaces, including Hydra Market, Breach Forums, and Genesis, dealing significant blows to the cybercrime ecosystem. Genesis Market, which had been operational since March 2018, provided access to data stolen from over 1.5 million compromised computers all over the world. The stolen account access credentials advertised on the platform included those related to the financial sector, critical infrastructure, and government agencies. Genesis Market was also a prominent initial access broker, IAB, attracting cybercriminals seeking easy entry into victims' computer systems. Reports suggest that ransomware actors used the access credentials purchased from Genesis Market to launch attacks on computer networks globally. Genesis Market's user-friendly interface allowed users to search for stolen access credentials based on location and account type. Alongside account credentials, the marketplace also offered and sold device fingerprints, which are unique combinations of identifiers and browser cookies that circumvent anti-fraud detection systems used by websites. With stolen access credentials, fingerprints, and cookies, buyers could assume the identity of victims, deceiving third-party websites into believing that they were the genuine account owners. Genesis Market users were scattered worldwide. Federal law enforcement agencies worked to identify frequent users who utilized stolen access credentials to commit cybercrimes and fraud. This effort generated numerous leads forwarded to FBI field offices within the US and foreign law enforcement partners. Operation Cookie Monster, the operation against Genesis Market, also resulted in the seizure of 11 domain names supporting the marketplace's infrastructure. FBI Director Christopher Wray highlighted the takedown of Genesis Market as an example of the FBI's dedication to disrupting and dismantling key services utilized by criminals for cybercrimes. The case demonstrated the FBI's technical capabilities and effective collaboration with international partners in fighting cybercriminals and safeguarding people worldwide. The FBI Milwaukee Field Office led the investigation with assistance from 44 other field offices and several international agencies. The operation involved the UK National Crime Agency, Italy's Polizia di Stato, the Australian Federal Police, the German Federal Criminal Police, and others. Authorities in Bulgaria and Latvia also provided assistance in response to mutual legal assistance requests. The investigation is being handled by trial attorneys Benjamin Proctor and Jessica Peck from the Criminal Division's Computer Crime and Intellectual Property Section, along with Assistant U.S. Attorney Faris Martini for the Eastern District of Wisconsin. The Justice Department's Office of International Affairs offered significant support. Victim credentials obtained during the investigation have been provided to the website Have I Been Pwned, a free resource for people to quickly assess whether their access credentials have been compromised or pwned, spelled P-W-N-E-D, in a data breach or other activity. Victims can visit haveibeenpwned.com to see whether their credentials were compromised by Genesis Market so that they can know whether to change or modify passwords and other authentication credentials that may have been compromised.
Support for the Cybercase Files podcast comes from Every Week. Join over 34,000 dropshippers discovering top 10 winning products every week. Our AI, Zora, analyzes over 1 billion data points weekly to help you succeed. You can find out more in the links in the episode show notes. Support for the Cybercase Files podcast comes from Sesame Care. Find the best price for the highest quality physicians. Book an appointment in minutes for as low as $19. You can find out more in the links in the episode show notes.
Part 2. Crypto laundering linked to North Korean operatives. On April 24, two federal indictments were unsealed in the District of Columbia, charging a representative from North Korea's Foreign Trade Bank, FTB, for his involvement in separate money laundering schemes aimed at generating revenue for the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, DPRK, using cryptocurrency. Assistant Attorney General Kenneth A. Polite Jr. of the Justice Department's Criminal Division highlighted the charges as a response to North Korean operatives' innovative attempt to evade sanctions by exploiting virtual assets' technological features for payments and profits. The indictments demonstrate the commitment to disrupt and deter North Korean actors and their accomplices by following the money trail on the blockchain. The first indictment accuses Sim Hyun-sup, a 39-year-old North Korean national, of conspiring with over-the-counter OTC cryptocurrency traders to use stolen funds to purchase goods for North Korea. Additionally, Sim is charged with conspiring with North Korean IT workers to generate revenue through illicit employment at blockchain development companies in the United States. The second indictment focuses on Sims' involvement in money laundering activities by collaborating with various North Korean IT workers who gained employment in US-based tech and crypto firms using fake identities. They received payment in cryptocurrencies and then funneled their earnings back to North Korea through Sim. U.S. Attorney Matthew M. Graves for the District of Columbia emphasized that the indictment exposed North Korea's continuous efforts to evade U.S. sanctions. Authorities remain committed to tracking the flow of funds, whether through traditional banking systems or cryptocurrencies, to hold those supporting the corrupt regime accountable. Assistant Director Luis Quesada of the FBI's Criminal Investigative Division expressed the division's determination to pursue and bring to justice criminals involved in exploiting and laundering cryptocurrency, particularly when it aids the DPRK. The collaborative efforts of law enforcement agencies are crucial in holding state operatives responsible for their actions. The court documents further reveal the involvement of other individuals in the money laundering schemes. Sim, along with Chinese national Wu Huihu, Hong Kong British national Cheng Hong Man, and an individual identified as Jamie Chen, conspired to launder stolen cryptocurrency and use the funds to purchase goods through Hong Kong-based front companies on behalf of North Korea. Sim directed these payments, made in US dollars, through Jamie Chen, who recruited Wu and Cheng, who are OTC traders, to find front companies and facilitate the transactions to evade US sanctions. The indictment also shed light on North Korea's Reconnaissance General Bureau, RGB, its primary intelligence and covert operations unit, known as both Lazarus Group and Advanced Persistent Threat 38, and Advanced Persistent Threat 38, APT-38, in the cybersecurity community. APT-38, financially motivated and backed by the North Korean regime, has been responsible for destructive cyber attacks since at least 2014, generating revenue for the regime's ballistic missile and weapons programs. The group has targeted victims worldwide, including financial institutions and virtual asset service providers, gaining unauthorized access through various means, including spear phishing attacks. Since 2017, North Korean hackers have engaged in virtual currency-related thefts, targeting virtual currency exchanges to generate revenue for the regime. A portion of the stolen funds was sent to a specific virtual currency address, which Sim and his OTC trader co-conspirators used to fund payments for goods intended for North Korea. The regime also employs IT workers to obtain illegal employment in the cryptocurrency industry. These workers apply for remote IT development jobs without disclosing their North Korean identities and then use fraudulent documents and obfuscation strategies to bypass security checks. They request payments in virtual currencies and send their earnings back to North Korea through FTB representatives like Sim. In addition, Wu faces a separate indictment for operating an unlicensed money transmitting business. Wu, an OTC trader on a US-based virtual currency exchange, conducted over 1,500 trades for US customers without obtaining the necessary licenses. The FBI Chicago Field Office and the FBI's Virtual Assets Unit, VAU, are actively investigating these cases. The charges of conspiring to launder monetary instruments carry a maximum prison sentence of 20 years, while operating an unlicensed money transmitting business is punishable by up to 5 years in prison. Prosecuting the cases are trial attorney Jessica Peck of the Justice Department's National Cryptocurrency Enforcement Team, NCET, and Computer Crime and Intellectual Property Section, along with Assistant U.S. Attorneys Stephen Wasserman and Christopher Tortoris for the District of Columbia. Trial attorney Emma Ellen Rader of the National Security Division's Counterintelligence and Export Control Section is also involved. Valuable assistance has been provided by paralegal specialist Brian Rickers and Angela DeFalco, as well as legal assistant Jessica McCormick. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Central District of California, FBI Los Angeles Field Office, Criminal Division's Money Laundering and Asset Recovery Section, former Special Agent Chris Jansiuswick of the IRS Criminal Investigation, and former FBI analyst Nick Carlson have played significant roles in the investigation. The NCET was established in October 2021 to combat the increasing illicit use of cryptocurrencies and digital assets. Operating under the supervision of the Criminal Division, the NCET conducts and supports investigations into individuals and entities involved in using digital assets to commit various crimes, with a particular focus on virtual currency exchanges, mixing and tumbling services, and infrastructure providers. The NCET sets strategic priorities related to digital asset technologies, identifies areas requiring increased investigative and prosecutorial attention, and leads the department's effort to collaborate with domestic and international government agencies and the private sector in aggressively investigating and prosecuting cryptocurrency and digital asset-related crimes.
Support for the Cybercase Files podcast comes from Shut the Box Dice Game. Dating back to 12th century France, sailors cherished playing Shut the Box game. In modern times, whether you're camping with friends or relaxing with family, you'll have endless fun with this easy-to-learn game. Buy two, get one free, plus free shipping within the United States. You can find out more in the links in the episode show notes. Support for the Cybercase Files podcast comes from Snake River Farms. Whether you're a seasoned veteran or a beginner to beef, the pioneers of American Wagyu have got you covered with $25 off your order. Receive $25 off orders of over $149 with code SWAPSRF at Snake River Farms. You can find out more in the links in the episode show notes.
Part 3. Behind Closed Ranks. On April 25, a former Colombian military intelligence official was sentenced to 12 years in prison for his involvement in a conspiracy to distribute cocaine into the United States. Court documents reveal that between August 2017 and April 2018, Fabian Humberto Tovar Caicedo, a sergeant in the Colombian Army Intelligence, assisted a drug trafficking organization, DTO, by conspiring to transport large shipments of cocaine from Colombia to Mexico with the ultimate goal of importing it into the U.S. Tovar Caicedo provided corrupt services to the DTO, including facilitating the export of cocaine by offering police assistance at the port of Santa Marta, suggesting secure communication methods, and attempting to sell a list of DEA informants to the DTO. Tovar Caicedo played a key role in organizing multiple meetings to further the distribution of cocaine. He and his co-conspirators planned to send shipments ranging from 1,000 to 10,000 kilograms of cocaine per shipment. As stated in the court documents, a DTO member traveled to Mexico to negotiate the receipt of the cocaine with a high-ranking Mexican military official. Another member of the conspiracy, Fabian Andres Layton Vargas, used his position as a Colombian Air Force officer in the Ministry of Defense to establish contact with security and law enforcement officials at the port of Santa Marta. Layton Vargas would offer bribes to these officials to ensure that containers carrying cocaine passed through the port without inspection. Layton Vargas, along with Antonio Aldema Avila Acevedo and Jose Mauricio Castaneda Garzon, attempted to ship 1,773 kilograms of cocaine from Colombia to Guatemala in July 2017 and 2,081 kilograms of cocaine from Colombia to Mexico in March 2018, both destined for the U.S. However, Colombian law enforcement intercepted and seized both shipments before they left the port. Jose Maria Fragoso Dacunti, another defendant connected to the case, utilized his former position in the Colombian National Police and personal connections to bribe security and law enforcement officials at the port of Cartagena. His organization planned to transport large quantities of cocaine valued at millions of dollars to Europe by concealing the drugs inside commercial shipping containers. In November 2018, U.S. law enforcement seized 516 kilograms of cocaine hidden among pineapples in a shipping container sent by Fragoso da Conti's DTO from Cartagena to Antwerp, Belgium, at the port of Savannah, Georgia. In December 2018, an additional 205 kilograms of cocaine concealed with limes were seized at the same port. Fragoso da Conti paid a bribe of 1 billion Colombian pesos, equivalent to over $300,000, to a port security officer as part of the conspiracy. Fragoso da Conti, Leighton Vargas, and Avila Acevedo received a sentence of 12 years in prison, while Castaneda Garcon was sentenced to 7 years and 4 months. These cases were supported by the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Forces, OCDETF, which aims to identify, disrupt, and dismantle high-level drug traffickers, money launderers, gangs, and transnational criminal organizations threatening the U.S. OCDETF employs a prosecutor-led, intelligence-driven, and multi-agency approach, leveraging the collaboration of federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies against criminal networks. The announcement was made by Assistant Attorney General Kenneth A. Polite Jr. of the Justice Department Criminal Division, U.S. Attorney Jessica D. Abar for the Eastern District of Virginia, and Special Agent in Charge J. Todd Scott of the DEA Louisville Division. The DEA Louisville Division and Cartagena Resident Office investigated the case with significant assistance from the DEA's Office of Special Intelligence's Document and Media Exploitation Unit and the Special Operations Division's Bilateral Investigations Unit. Additionally, the DEA offices in Bogota, Panama, Guatemala City, San Jose, Costa Rica, Brussels, Mexico City, Madrid, Frankfurt, London, Paris, Rome, The Hague, Vienna, Hong Kong, Islamabad, Savannah, Georgia, Detroit, Tampa, Florida, and New Orleans provided valuable support. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection National Targeting Center also played a significant role. Critical support was also provided by the Colombian National Police, the Belgian Federal Police, the German Zollverfassungsamt, the National Police of the Netherlands, and the Italian Guardia di Finanza. The case was prosecuted by trial attorneys Douglas Meisel and Janet Turnbull of the Criminal Division's Narcotic and Dangerous Drugs Section, NDDS, and Assistant U.S. Attorney Anthony T. Aminoff for the Eastern District of Virginia. The prosecution of Fragoso da Conti is being handled by NDDS trial attorneys Meisel and Teresita Morton, along with Assistant U.S. Attorney Aminoff. The prosecution of Leighton Vargas, Avila Acevedo, and Castaneda Garcon was led by Assistant U.S. Attorneys Aminoff, formerly with NDDS, Katie Rumbaugh, and Dave Peters for the Eastern District of Virginia. The arrest and extradition of the defendants were made possible through substantial assistance from the Justice Department's Office of International Affairs and the judicial attaché at the U.S. Embassy in Bogota.
Support for the Cybercase Files podcast comes from Sofdr. Sofdr lets you stop waiting for developers so that you can build software without devs, blazingly fast. It is trusted by over 100,000 teams worldwide. You can find out more in the links in the episode show notes.
Part 4. The DOJ's fight against human trafficking and child exploitation. On April 28, the Justice Department made an important announcement regarding the appointment of two coordinators to combat human trafficking and child exploitation. Hilary Axam, the director of the Civil Rights Division's Human Trafficking Prosecution Unit, HTPU, was designated as the National Human Trafficking Coordinator, while Stephen J. Grocki, the chief of the Criminal Division's Child Exploitation and Obscenity Section, CEOS, was appointed as the National Coordinator for Child Exploitation Prevention and Interdiction. Attorney General Merrick B. Garland emphasized the commitment of the Department of Justice to preventing and prosecuting these heinous crimes that target society's most vulnerable members. He thanked Hillary Axam and Stephen Grocki for their dedication to the fight against human trafficking and child exploitation, recognizing their valuable experience in their respective roles as national coordinators. The focus is on strengthening the capacity to protect victims, ensure accountability for perpetrators, and uphold the rights of survivors. The Attorney General's designation of the National Human Trafficking Coordinator aligns with the Abolish Human Trafficking Act, while the appointment of the National Coordinator for Child Exploitation Prevention and Interdiction is in accordance with the Protect Our Children Act of 2008. Both coordinators are responsible for developing and implementing national strategies within the Department of Justice and across agencies, coordinating efforts and representing the department in important engagements with external stakeholders. Their expertise in their respective fields will guide policies, strategies, and priorities at the department level. Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark of the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division emphasized the harm inflicted by human trafficking and the importance of combating these violations. Hillary Axam's leadership of the Human Trafficking Prosecution Unit has been globally recognized for its victim-centered, trauma-informed approach to seeking justice for survivors. With her extensive experience and expertise, Axam will play a crucial role in advancing the fight against human trafficking. Assistant Attorney General Kenneth A. Polite Jr. of the Justice Department's Criminal Division highlighted the severity of child exploitation as a destructive offense. Stephen J. Grocki, Chief of the Child Exploitation and Obscenity Section, has extensive experience investigating and prosecuting such cases. As the National Coordinator for Child Exploitation Prevention and Interdiction, Grocki will lead in developing policies, strategies, and priorities in this area, drawing upon the specialized expertise within the section and ensuring coordination with external experts. Hillary Axam has been the director of the HTPU in the Civil Rights Division since 2009, previously serving as the unit's senior litigation counsel. Her prosecutorial experience includes significant cases involving various forms of human trafficking. Axam is considered a leading expert in anti-trafficking efforts within the Department of Justice. Stephen Grocki was appointed chief of the CEOS in October 2015, having been part of the section since 2004. With a background as a trial attorney, assistant deputy chief, and deputy chief, Grocki's expertise lies in prosecuting federal child exploitation cases, particularly those involving online crimes and extraterritorial offenders. CEOS is vital in developing policies and response capacity to combat child sexual exploitation.
Support for the Cybercase Files podcast comes from Deel. Compliantly hire anyone, anywhere, in 5 minutes with Deel. Deel is your one-stop shop for hiring, paying, and managing your remote team. We stay on top of local labor laws across the world to ensure compliance and mitigate risk so that you don't have to. You can find out more in the links in the episode show notes.
Part 5. The U.S.-Canada Cross-Border Crime Forum, CBCF. So the enduring partnership between the U.S. and Canada is guided by a shared dedication to security, prosperity, and the advancement of democratic values. So on April 28, a meeting was held in Ottawa between Canada's Minister of Public Safety, Marco Mendicino, Minister of Justice and Attorney General David Lametti, U.S. Attorney General Merrick B. Garland, and U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas. That was the second meeting of the Canada-U.S. Cross-Border Crime Forum, CBCF, since its re-establishment through President Biden and Prime Minister Trudeau's 2021 roadmap for a renewed U.S.-Canada partnership. The ministers discussed progress in countering cross-border crime, strategies to improve community safety, and experiences in enhancing fairness and effectiveness in their criminal justice systems. Following the successful March 2022 CBCF meeting in Washington, D.C., and the commitments made by President Biden and Prime Minister Trudeau in Mexico and Ottawa earlier this year, the ministers explored avenues for enhanced collaboration in key areas. The first is the opioid overdose crisis. The US and Canada are committed to jointly combating the opioid epidemic by addressing all aspects of illicit synthetic opioid production and distribution. This includes preventing the importation of illegal precursor chemicals, expanding intelligence sharing, countering organized crime, building a global coalition against synthetic drugs, disrupting supply chains, tackling illicit finance, and engaging with relevant companies. Next is firearms violence. Both countries are strongly committed to addressing firearms violence and highlighted the need to tackle firearms smuggling across the shared border. The ministers emphasized the importance of timely information sharing, coordinated investigations, joint operations, and cooperation with state, provincial, indigenous, and tribal partners. Efforts to reduce firearms violence will involve tracing and seizing guns used in crimes, disrupting cross-border firearms smuggling, and addressing the proliferation of privately manufactured firearms. Next is money laundering. Money laundering significantly threatens the financial sector, economy, and public safety. The ministers acknowledged the challenges associated with criminals using virtual currencies to facilitate illicit activities and money laundering. They called for joint efforts to provide actionable information to law enforcement, regulators, and the private sector, and explore further collaboration in countering the criminal use of virtual currencies. Next is cross-border human smuggling. Recognizing the need for a unified approach, the ministers pledged to counter cross-border human smuggling occurring in both directions across the shared border. They urged officials to strengthen information gathering and sharing, enhance the detection and investigation of organized crime groups involved in human smuggling, and leverage technology and resources to dismantle smuggling networks. Next is notification of intended travel by registered sex offenders. Ministers discussed foreign partner notification regarding cross-border travel by sex offenders. Canada introduced legislation to strengthen reporting and notification for registered sex offenders intending to travel domestically or internationally. The US shared its efforts through the Angel Watch Center to notify countries, including Canada, about sex offender travel. Next is criminal justice reform. The ministers discussed criminal justice reform efforts in both countries with a focus on addressing root causes of crime and implementing equitable approaches to community safety, law enforcement, and criminal justice. They emphasized the importance of continuing work to reduce the overrepresentation of certain groups in the criminal justice system and enhancing access to justice. Finally, to support these efforts, the minister signed a statement of partnership to prevent, investigate, prosecute, and disrupt cross-border crime and pledged to provide regular updates on progress in each area of collaboration. The ministers also discussed other priority issues, including transnational repression, foreign interference, and the situations in Ukraine and Haiti. They emphasized their commitment to safeguarding Ukrainian sovereignty, countering state-sponsored disinformation, and supporting accountability mechanisms for war crimes. In the case of Haiti, both countries reiterated their commitment to providing aid, combating gang violence, and assisting the Haitian National Police. They expressed appreciation for the coordination between departments and agencies in supporting the safety and security of Haitian citizens and expressed interest in exploring joint law enforcement actions in Haiti. Throughout their discussions, the ministers underscored their dedication to promoting effective, accountable, and inclusive institutions at all levels and ensuring equal access to justice for all, in alignment with the United Nations 2030 Agenda and Sustainable Development Goal 16. So to wrap up, on this episode, I discussed an international cyber operation that disrupted a criminal marketplace, charges against a representative of North Korean Foreign Trade Bank for involvement in crypto laundering conspiracies, the sentencing of a foreign military intelligence official for their role in an international drug trafficking conspiracy, the US Justice Department's announcement of a National Human Trafficking Coordinator and National Coordinator for Child Exploitation Prevention and Interdiction, and a joint statement from the 2023 US-Canada Cross-Border Crime Forum, CBCF. So that's all I have for this episode 13 of the Cyber Case Files podcast. Thanks for listening.